It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Our next two stories are about troubled countries with large quantities of oil. We start in Iraq, where big international oil companies are returning. It has taken a while, and the 6.5 years since the U.S. invasion, Iraq has struggled to bring oil production up to the levels it had under Saddam Hussein. Iraq's oil minister has faced harsh criticism. But this week, the world's largest oil companies signed multi-billion-dollar deals to redevelop Iraq's oil fields. And the oil minister got them back doing business on his terms. NPR's Quil Lawrence reports.
Even before the deals were signed, Iraqis turned out looking for the new jobs they hope Iraq's oil bonanza will create. Outside an oil ministry office in the southern city of Basra, two enterprising men set up printers and copy machines on carts that look like they're made for selling fruit. As their portable generators roared, they helped the throng of job seekers copy documents and prepare applications. Abdullah Abdul Wadud landed a job as a truck driver. Foreign companies are coming back to Iraq, he says, and it's going to be good. Iraqis haven't always welcomed multinationals here. The nationalization of the oil industry in the 1970s is still a source of pride, and most Iraqis are suspicious that foreign oil companies come only to steal the country's wealth. Last spring, Iraq's oil minister offered a hard bargain, a flat fee of $2 per barrel, to modernize Iraq's existing oil fields. Most of the multinationals told Iraq no thank you and walked away. But then they came walking back.
Minister, ladies and gentlemen, BP is delighted to have the opportunity to participate in rebuilding the Iraqi oil industry for the benefit very much of Iraq.
British Petroleum, along with China's national oil company, were the first ones to accept Iraq's terms. They finalized the deal on Tuesday. Then yesterday, ExxonMobil and Royal Dutch Shell came across. The deals bring a combined $65 billion to develop Iraq's oil infrastructure. 85% of the employees at the oil fields must be Iraqi, and the companies guarantee they will train up Iraqi engineers to do high-skill jobs. Hussein al-Sharastani is Iraq's oil minister.
The prices that Iraq has set has very limited profit for them, but I'm very pleased that we have succeeded to convince the biggest oil companies in the world to accept these Iraqi conditions and terms.
The big companies couldn't resist the chance to get a foot in the door on what is considered the world's last untapped oil giant. But Sharastani was not sounding so confident only a few months ago, when Iraq's oil production dipped below its already weak levels, and members of parliament were calling for him to be sacked. Sharastani, who is an ally of Iraq's current prime minister, says the criticisms were politically motivated.
Well, those very people are still calling for my head, so this success hasn't convinced them either. The Iraqi people have seen what we have achieved.
But some of Sharastani's critics countered that the minister accomplished nothing in his first few years and then rushed all of the oil fields into a hasty auction just in time for Iraq's general elections this January. Still, it's hard for them to argue with the terms of the contracts and the meager $2 per barrel given to the multinationals. Still, old suspicions die hard. Khadim Awad leads the union of Iraq's Southern Oil Company employees. The foreign oil companies will get more than their $2, he says, adding, I'm sure there was a secret deal. Iraq is considered one of the world's most corrupt countries, but the auctions for these oil contracts were held live on television with little opportunity for backroom deals. Oil Minister Hussein al-Sharastani claims that in 6 years' time, Iraq will almost triple its oil production, and with that revenue, rebuild the country.
If you come to Iraq in 6 years' time, you will find a different country altogether.
Quil Lawrence, NPR News, Baghdad.